Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. Hope everyone's having a great day so far. Hope everyone had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. I know I'm certainly tired from a good weekend of friends, family, and beer and barbecue. But again, I hope whatever you guys did, it was safe and fun for everybody. Very excited to have back on the show tonight for part four of this extended series, Linda Groff. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, nice to be back.
All right, great. So, Linda, before we get ahead of ourselves, I just want to mention the website just right off the bat. You know, we've been speaking with you for we have a 12-part series now that we're in the midst of, but we had you on for a couple shows beforehand. And everything, a lot of the great things that Linda's talking about are on her website, Linda,
will be.
LINDAGROFF.net. And again,
yeah,
that's Linda Groff.
Like French.
That's right.
Well, because people mishear it on the yeah, okay. Yeah, and the shows will be posted there. They're not all up there yet, but they will be, I hope, soon. Yeah, some of them.
Okay,
the first two. Yeah, great.
So Linda, we know that obviously you're currently with the California State University, right?
Well, no, I am now officially retired. So
you're officially retired now.
Yeah, and I'm working on a lot of writing and books and stuff, and I've published lots of articles, but now I'm working in books. So
right.
That's
so,
yeah, so
as far as
busy.
The books go, this is like the new thing for you because you had 40 years of experience. And I'm sorry, I thought that you had still said, because I guess I was reading something that had said that you're still currently with the California State University, but I guess you might have taken a step back from that after.
I'm emeritus professor, meaning, you know, I taught there for a long time and I'm now retired. And emeritus professor, they give you some title of that if you retire, you know, on good terms, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Good. As good as it can be, right?
Yeah.
Great. All
anyway.
Right. So, So, Linda, we have tons to talk about with you all the time. We always fly through the episodes. So why don't you share with us a little bit today about what you'll be speaking about?
Okay. I'll just say last time we talked about all these new technologies impacting future human evolution and the future human, but we didn't get to space. And I will deal with that in a future episode where we talk about also whether we're alone in the universe or not, or whether the universe is populated with life. But today the topic is sustainable development and a little bit on alternative economics in the Anthropocene age. So we're going to be looking also, some people also use the term the global mega crisis. So issues like population, food, energy, environment, climate change, water quality, species extinction, all these types of things are very interdependent variables that impact each other. And so people often look at them together, sometimes in computer modeling, sometimes just in, you know, noting that these variables impact each other a lot. And there's important, you know, some accelerating change in many of these areas today that is kind of raising alarm bells. Like, we need to pay attention to these issues because they're going to really impact the environment that we have to live in going forward. So we're going to be talking about some of those topics today. And the first thing I should probably say is, what is the Anthropocene age? Okay, so this is a term not everybody's heard of yet, but it's a very important concept. And the idea is that they had a big debate, like, when did it start? But now they kind of think it was around 1950. But basically what's happened now is it's a new geological age. And the previous was the Holocene, but the characteristic now of this Anthropocene age that we're in is that humans have now come to dominate so much of the planet that it's changing the relationship that we have to nature, to other species, everything, and their chances of survival as well. So it used to be that you had wild areas where different species could live, and then you had civilized areas where humans were living. But now those boundaries are getting totally blurred, and in many cases, you know, animals come into cities just trying to survive, and because of climate change, their habitats are also disappearing in many cases. And so there's a lot of issues about the future survival of a number of species, which I'll get to. But the other thing that people have come to with the Anthropocene age is that humans, if we want to keep all these other species around and allow them to survive, they need habitats to live in. And that's going to only happen if humans consciously decide to put aside quote-unquote wild areas for different species so they have a habitat to survive in. And if we don't do that, we're going to just keep losing more species. So it's a really big issue, you know. And, yeah, so in terms of climate change, too, there was, you know, it's very interesting that the climate change issue seems to have gotten much worse also around the same time that people now think the Anthropocene age began, which is around 1950. And the climate change is because of too much CO2 in the atmosphere creating global warming. And I would say 98-99% of scientists agree that this is happening, and all the data shows that. There are a few people who hold out, and there's one political party I won't mention that doesn't seem to want to recognize this issue. But it really is a critical issue in terms of our future on the planet. So there have been cyclical changes in the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere over time, parts per million, over time that, you know, you have increase, decrease like that. But since about 1950 on, there's been a huge increase of CO2 in the atmosphere, and that's the big problem. And there was finally an agreement in Paris last year on climate change, and they got an agreement partly because countries all got to voluntarily say what they would try to do to deal with it. But the countries, you know, so there's no, I don't know if there's any enforcement mechanism, I don't think, but at least people are starting to recognize this is a real issue. But as I said, you know, there are some political people who are probably beholden to the fossil fuel industry that don't want to recognize this exists.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So another aspect of this is that we have to shift our source of energy. And I think two times ago I talked about the agricultural age, the industrial age, the information age that we're now in.
Yes.
The agricultural age, in terms of energy uses, we use renewable energy. That means like the sun, solar, wind, tides come in and out. Biomass, you know, nature, leaves breaking down and stuff like this. And differences between temperature deeper in the ocean or on the surface, all kinds of things like this, geothermal energy. These are all types of renewable energy that come out of nature. And if you take care of Mother Nature, it will naturally replenish. These things will be replenished and available. The problem, though, is if we take from Mother Nature too fast, you know, there's something called the tragedy of the commons, where everybody just follows their own self-interest and takes what they want for themselves, without any regard for the common good, and then you can overtake from nature and make it difficult for nature to replenish itself. But what happened is we went from the agricultural age where we did use, like, we had wood and water power, and we had also animals and slaves, unfortunately, back then, but we did. And these were all, you know, sun, the solar energy, and so on, and these and windmills, you know, these were things back then. But then the industrial age, we shifted. That began in England a couple centuries back now, but it was basically shifting to fossil fuels, which are things that build up over eons of time in the earth, carbon compounds and so on. But they include coal, and then later we shifted to oil and natural gas. But the problem with fossil fuels is they have a finite supply, and they also pollute the environment a lot. So this is a problem that we're... You know, so we're still, those were the main things, these fossil fuels in the industrial age. And now we're in the information age, and we should technically be going back to renewable energy, but using it with much more sophisticated technology. The problem is that people still using too many fossil fuels, and that's still polluting. And then the pollution and so on is also creating more carbon in the atmosphere and, you know, making global warming a worse problem. So it all becomes interconnected. And that's why we need to, you know, make that kind of a shift.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, but we are moving towards more renewable energy. And even I think electric cars help some. You know, that's another thing that we're moving towards, or hybrids on the way. But there's a lot of things that we need to start acting more consciously and responsibly, mm-hmm. and with more awareness of what we're creating, so that we can create a better future for future generations, you know, not just for ourselves, but what about future generations and so on. So those are some of the kinds of issues. And then another big issue is threats to biodiversity and different species. So What's interesting on that is some people think we're in the sixth mass extinction of species on the planet, and there's getting to be more and more agreement that that's really happening. And the fifth mass extinction of species was 65 million years ago when the dinosaurs became extinct. And so, you know, it has a huge effect every time you have a mass extinction. There have been different ones. But, you know, if we're in another one of these and many, many species are endangered, and the reason they're endangered, you know, different things, they don't know what caused all the previous mass extinctions. With the dinosaurs, they think it might have been a meteor or a comet or something, asteroid, whatever, hitting the Earth and putting, so much dust in the atmosphere that it blocked out the sun, and then the plant-eating plants died, and then the plant-eating dinosaurs, and then finally the meat-eating dinosaurs. But in any case, I mean, that was a big deal. And this time, people know that the reason that we're having this sixth mass extinction probably is because of humans, you know, taking over more, pushing animals out of their natural habitats, and they're just trying to survive, you know. So it's very real. If you have ecological systems and you start pulling out different species, you know, the whole thing, which build up over time, right, built up over time, and then the ecological system can collapse. So, you know, we're playing with fire a bit, you know, by not taking heed of these things and trying to more responsibly deal with them. Another interesting thing about species extinction, by the way, that always blows everybody's mind when they hear this statistic first, but 99% of all the species that have ever existed are now extinct. So that doesn't give any, you know, that doesn't mean humans necessarily will be around forever either if we don't adjust and adapt to changing situations and so on like we have today.
Right.
So,
wow.
Yeah. And then there's a few more things here. World population, you know, it's population. A lot of these different issues are accelerating in the rate at which they're happening, which means they're going to be harder to turn around and deal with. And in terms of world population, it's now 7.4 billion people. And, you know, since around the middle of the last century on, it's been accelerating so much. And so basically, the problem is that we have more and more people on the planet taking over more and more of the land and dominating it. So we push the animals back and they lose their natural habitat. But at the same time, we have finite world resources. So, you know, some of the issues that raises are whether, you know, if the whole rest of the world wants to develop on the levels that we say we have in the United States, most people don't think that's possible because there's not enough resources for everybody to live, you know, kind of high off the hog like we do. So,
right.
You know, so that's a big issue. And but you want, you know, we want other parts of the world to develop and we want people to realize their own human potential and so on, which means they need access to some education and different opportunities.
Of course.
But anyway, yeah, so that's another big thing is that the resources of the world are finite. And then there's the concept of sustainable development, which basically means that we want to preserve for future generations a world that is sustainable, you know, where we have food, energy resources, where we don't have population totally out of control, where we have, you know, people can still survive and live, and other species are also not all endangered. So that's a term people use a lot. Another issue, by the way, is water quality. That's a big issue. You know, there's a lot of people in developing countries, poor countries, that don't have access to good quality water. And then if that's true, they get diseases and various things because of that. And that impacts their, you know, how long they can live and so on.
Sure.
And, And then another issue with the oceans, you know, we have oceans around, but the problem with the oceans is also that we've been doing totally overfishing of oceans.
Right.
And so
yes.
different species are endangered. And then also, I mean, over time, more and more different new species that people didn't eat before, they try to make it have some attractive name so that people will try to eat more diverse sources of fish and so on. But, there's also the oceans are becoming more acidic as well. And so the corals are dying in lots of places. That, you know, like in Australia and different places, the Great Barrier Reef and stuff, you know, a lot of the corals are turning white. They used to be vibrant colors and so on, and they're all becoming anemic looking, you know, and they're dying because, again, the oceans are too acidic. So humans are having a lot of big impacts. And then if you look at the pictures you always see of the polar bears, you know, that they're trying to find some kind of a floating crop of ice somewhere that they can stand on, you know. So, you know, the Arctic is melting, and, you know, if the oceans rise, if you did, you know, a few inches or something or more, I mean, look at all the cities around the world, coastal cities that could be endangered, right? Because, and another thing, weather's becoming much more erratic and unpredictable. You know, you get more extremes of weather. Like, I'm in California, well, we just had this terrible drought, you know, and but a lot of places, you know, different places have different problems. But weather is also becoming more extreme sometimes, which is another result of all these different things we're talking about. So basically, we've got a lot of issues to look at here.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and how do you kind of prioritize that? I mean, what influences one more than the other?
Well, I think the thing is, you know, the thing is they're interdependent. I think a certain number of things like global warming requires that we keep transitioning as fast as we can to more renewable energy sources that don't put more carbon CO2 in the atmosphere, you know, which then increases global warming. And so that's related. So energy affects, you know, climate and so on. The species extinction thing, too, that's a result. A lot of it is just because there are more and more people on the planet taking over more and more of the land and pushing the poor, you know, other species, animals back, and they're just trying to survive too. So, I mean, I think let me just say one thing about population because it's important, I think. I mean, some people say, well, if we could just get rid of a lot of people, everything would be fine. But it's not quite that simple. And I think when people get an opportunity to have a certain minimum standard of living and some education and so on, they usually start to voluntarily have less children, you know, so that sort of takes care of that problem, you know, if you know that your children are going to die, you know, but if you go to a developing country, like a village out in a developing country, you know, then there are reasons why people have more children, because in those situations, like, there's no social security to take care of you in your old age. So you have to have kids, your kids are going to have to take care of you. And then if you have more kids, they can help work the land. And if some of them, you know, might not survive and make it, you know, then maybe you have extra kids to deal with the fact that they might not all make it. You know, so there's some practical reasons why people have more children in a situation like that, and also why they would have less if people got opportunities for more education and other things like that. So, you know, so it's not so simple to just to say, well, don't have children. You know, I think it's you have to deal with what population you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So anyway, and then, there's a few other things I think to deal with all these issues, we need to shift our thinking to a more interdependent worldview. You know, we've tended in the West, going back to Aristotle, to say, well, we're separate from each other, we're separate from nature, everything is separate. You divide reality up into these separate pieces, and then the problem is we forget that we're interconnected, you know. So today, all these environmental issues, as I said, they're all very interdependent, you know, and they all impact each other. And so it's not enough to, you know, I mean, if we're going to solve these problems, we need to take into account these interrelationships, and that, you know, if you make progress in a positive way in one of them, it probably has positive effects on other areas as well. So some people do computer modeling of all these types of variables. There's a famous study, Limits to Growth, in the 1972, in the futures field, that looked at population, food, energy, environmental type things, and you know, projected that we're going to be in trouble if we don't start addressing some of these issues, and that was way back in the 70s. So anyway, I mean, the problem now is we humans have created these problems, you know, and so humans can also deal with them if we choose to and decide it's important enough. But let me get to, just before, while we have time, a couple economic issues, because I said I'd say something in this section. you know, maybe about alternative economic issues. I think there's several things coming here, and these are very interesting, but they're going to, you know, we're not really dealing with these yet. But one thing is the whole world can't have a goal of endless consumption like we have in the U.S. and the West if with finite world resources and more and more people on the planet. You know, so somehow or other, we, you know, and our whole economic models are based on keeping grow, you know, sell more, consume more. So, you know, that's a big thing that's going to be difficult to get a handle on and make get us to rethink about it. And in terms of, you know, if we want other species around, we're going to need to set aside wild areas to protect them so they can survive. But there's another issue, and then we need to move to, you know, renewable energy so we don't pollute as much and we don't have as much global warming. But then there's another issue that relates to what we did last time about technology. And this is, you know, I'll just bring it up now because it is about economics in the future. Everybody seems, a lot of people, I mean, we're having more and more development of robotics, okay, which has a computer brain, artificial intelligence, whatever. And those, we talked about those issues last time. But if you have robots more and more taking over the factory assembly line and then replacing workers because, you know, then which is happening. And like in Japan, you have robots making robots and so on. But, you know, the thing is if you have automation of production more and more, then there's going to be less jobs for everybody. And then that's going to require, I mean, if you get too many people unemployed, it's really politically, socially, economically unsustainable. I mean, everybody would rise up and say, you know, you can't just have people all unemployed. So it's going to, you know, and there are articles, the future, some teachers talked about this back in the 80s or 70s, and then again today you see articles popping up, but this is not yet in the mainstream discussion. I mean, everybody's worried about the recovery from this last recession and also about creating jobs. But if you do have more automation, what is the word, of production, then we're going to have a big dialogue, and that's happening, I think, in Sweden and some other countries in Europe already, where it's going to maybe require at some point in the future that if you automate a production, you still can produce what society needs and people need, but, you know, but people wouldn't have to work as long, or maybe you'd have to give people a guaranteed minimum income, and then if people have jobs, maybe they get paid something extra for those, but you can't just have a lot of people unemployed and not respond to it. So it's a kind of issue because we've tended to think that your worth is, you know, your worth, your value in life is based on the work you do or how much work you do or something like that. But if not, if there aren't going to be jobs for everybody, you know, then we're going to have to rethink a lot of things. And right. And then the other thing people talk about, though, is if you had more leisure time, you know, you could just sit on a couch and be a couch potato, or you could take that time and become more creative and innovative and just, and then give back to society and to your friends and other people. And, you know, not because you need to do it to earn a wage, you know, income, but because, you know, you just want to be creative and you enjoy it, you know. But it's a mind, another shift of thinking besides becoming more interdependent in our thinking. It's a whole new type of issue we may have to grapple with going forward. So, I mean, anyway, these are some interesting topics to look at. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's so much that, you know, it makes you kind of, like I said, you know, it makes you wonder kind of like, where do you start? It would almost fluster, you know, the normal person, I think, to kind of say,
right,
like, okay, so what do we do first, you know?
Right. And it's also a little overwhelming, you know, because you go, good Lord,
yes,
these issues are so big. And then plus you look at all the new technologies we talked about last time that are raising their own kind of issues, you know? So, I mean, we really do seem to be in a major period of transition on the planet, you know, and we have to start grappling with these things. But what I always tell people, and what I always told my students or anybody who would listen, you know, is if everybody would just commit to do something to make the world a little better in whatever area really interests them and where they have some background or interest or whatever, you know, nobody can do everything in every area at all, but each person could do something. And if every,
yep,
and even in people's own lifestyle, if you try to recycle things more, if you try to not overconsume things you don't totally need, you know, if you try to think about, you know, other species and how to preserve them, and, you know, if you try not to contribute more to global warming, and you know, if you buy a hybrid or electric car, if you can afford it, you know, that helps the global warming thing. So, you know, there's just a lot of different ways, but I guess the first thing is to get a little informed on these issues, but also
sure.
to follow your own, you know, your own inner instincts about, like, you know, if everyone would just say, well, what could I do? You know, and it doesn't have to be the same for everybody at all, because there's so many issues out there, you know, but if everybody would start trying to do a little something, that would all be really good. I mean, I live in California because of the drought. You know, we had a recent thing where everybody was really supposed to cut back on their water consumption.
Yes,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people did. You know, you find out you don't have to keep the water running all the time you're doing your dishes, you know. You can, I mean, there's lots of things. You know, you can just turn it off, get out soap and, you know, and all the, and then just turn it on to rinse them or something. You know, I mean, there's a, that's just a silly little example. But, you know, there's
right.
things you can definitely do. Not take a shower every day, maybe, you know, maybe every other day or whatever. You know, there's just, or, you know, just different things you can do. Some people talk about gray water, where you can keep water that you couldn't use for some things, you know, but you can use it for other things, wastewater. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
the thing is just that in each of these areas, and some people, if you have your own home, you can try to get solar panels on your roof, you know, depending where you live, you know, or wind, if there's wind energy around or whatever, so that you, you know, start to move towards more uses of renewable energy instead of the fossil fuels that are non-renewable that are going to run out, although we'll never use them all up because they'll get too expensive to get the, you know, that's the coal, oil, and natural gas, but those, the last, getting last out of the earth will become so expensive, we, you know, the renewable energy will get more cost-effective and people increasingly turn to that, but people can also just on their own decide, I'm going to try to find ways to use more renewable energy instead of
mm-hmm.
non-renewable energy. So, no, but these issues are interesting because they're so interdependent, you know, and
right.
you know, they're not, again, back to the need for us to change our thinking so that we start to see the world that way, you know, and instead of just, you know, thinking about, well, all I, you know, like this sort of laissez-faire capitalism of Adam Smith, well, if I just work hard for me and don't think about anyone else, everything will be fine. But that tragedy of the commons is that sometimes that's not true, you know. And,
right.
And that, you know. And Bucky Fuller, by the way, was another important futurist, and we don't have a lot of time, I think, but he basically said one of the problems we have also, there is enough for everybody to get their basic needs met, but the problem is we don't know that. And so people hoard stuff for themselves, thinking, you know, that if they don't do that, they won't have anything for themselves or their own family or group or whatever. But, you know, we need technology. We need to design technology that's efficient and not wasteful. We're, as an economy, also, we're very wasteful, you know. We have these engines that, you know, we need to design things better so that we don't waste as much fuel, you know, in using things. And doing things, and so there's lots of different things that need to be done, and I think it's the cumulative effect of all these things that will make the difference, you know, not just one thing alone.
Absolutely. Well, Linda,
yeah.
Unfortunately, we are running out of time for today's episode. We are going to have you back on the show, though, next Tuesday night, June 7th, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I believe that on that particular night, we're going to be focusing on cultural diversity and intercultural communication, which
right.
I can't wait to get into with you. And also, I want everyone to check out the website, lindagroff.net. That's LINDAGRO, FrankFrank.net. And Linda, would you like to say any parting words for us tonight before we leave?
Well, no, just everybody do your bit, you know, to make this world a little better for everybody. And everybody can do something, you know, that everybody can do something that would make a difference. And so the interviews that we've been doing, the first two are up there from the first ones we did, but the series and I were doing about 12 of them, those aren't up yet, but I'm going to try to talk to them about trying to get those up soon. I checked and they weren't up
All
yet.
All right.
So. Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you, Linda, for coming on tonight.
Yeah, I would love to hear back if anyone wants to get in touch with me. My email is evolvingworlds, plural, one word, no caps, evolvingworlds@gmail.com. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda, and we'll see you again next week.
Great. Thanks so much. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
From everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Have a great night, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye.